The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub, and John U. Bacon join Steve Clark and I for the remainder of the show. Bakes, how you doing? On a Wednesday, no less, calling an audible for us. How are you?
I'm doing shockingly well, and there's my beloved rats behind me. I got a very poor set behind me, unlike you guys. Although, Clark, what the hell are you doing? And I say that, Steve, with all due respect, you know that.
Steve is, he's developing film old school, right, Steve?
Yeah. He's in the dark room right now.
That's how that works. You know, you come on at a time where Steve and I were about to maybe talk about a turning point in the Rutgers game. And before we get into that with Steve, Bakes, a turning point in the Rutgers game. I mean, I did say that on the radio, right? I said at one point in the game, they got to slow Rutgers down. They won't stop them. I said that about Rutgers.
Bend, not break.
Right. Bend, but don't break against Rutgers. I realize I'm saying all these things and people take their shots and like, oh, look at what you're talking about. This is beneath the program. Maybe historically, maybe traditionally, but if we're just talking about the context of this season, John U. Bacon, where they are and what they can accomplish, look, man, you know, holding Rutgers off and getting out of Piscataway with a victory for this team is an accomplishment.
All I can say is you are where you are, and that's where this team is right now. You never know what's going to happen next. I would certainly say that finding Cade McNamara playing, honestly, one of the best fill-in jobs I've ever seen in my life. That's obviously promising for Michigan going forward. I recall James Franklin, I had him for dead in 2016, I think, when Michigan whooped him up bad in Ann Arbor, and they're like 2-3 at that point or something like that. And my whole comment was, it's not a question of if, but when is Franklin getting fired, mid-season or end of season? And what they do, they won a squeaker against Minnesota the next week, turn around, beat Ohio State, and guess who the freaking Big Ten champions are? So Mae West had a great line. She said, I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better.
I hear you. That's what I mean for all of Harry. Look,
hey,
one, that's much better than the alternative. Yeah. I'm here with you, Bakes.
Hey, as a coach, as a player, I've won and I've lost. Winning's better.
Absolutely it is. So let's get into this, into the win. Obviously, Cade McNamara coming into that game gave the team a huge jolt, a huge shot in the arm for the second week in a row. But, Steve, as momentum goes, they had kind of lost a little heading into the break with another missed field goal. So I ask you, and I put this to Mike Porter earlier in the week, I mean, what was the biggest play of that game? Could a case be made for the kickoff return by Giles Jackson?
Absolutely. You know, one thing you have to think about is that McNamara's first touchdown pass was an in the middle and up the field, you know, in and out play. I was like, was that open in previous plays, or did Michigan get lucky, or did Rutgers think there was no way that McNamara would throw that deep down the field? I don't know. But things started to churn, and it wasn't just necessarily a quarterback coming in. Everybody started playing better. And then Cornelius gets the kick return in, and again, the offense starts to move the ball. But even on the rushing plays, it wasn't like the running backs were running into a brick wall anymore, and that Cade McNamara was the only thing that was good about the Michigan offense. Son Askins was breaking through tackles, not going down on first contact. They were finding some holes in the interior. And I know Rutgers' defense throughout the season wasn't really a second-half football team. They made more mistakes in the second half.
Or a first-half football team. Let's be honest, Clark. They weren't a football team.
Well, this is where we could get into an argument about certain things. I've seen a pronounced change in Rutgers this year in all the games they've played compared to what they have been under the Chris Ash era and the previous coaches before.
Shanahan's a good coach. He's not only a great coach, but he's a good coach. Good to very good.
But I mean, I have seen Rutgers at the depth of where the quarterback only threw for 7 yards passing in the game, where the rushing always ran into a brick wall. The Rutgers players just went through the motions. These guys play inspired football on both sides. They are breaking tackles. They are fighting through tackles, making big plays. This is a different team that people are just not used to. I know Michigan beat Rutgers last year 52-0, and there's a big disparity between last year and this year, but Rutgers has moved up a bit. They're no longer the joke and embarrassment that I've taken great pleasure in shelling out over the last 5 or 6 years. But that be aside, the Michigan rushing attack was a lot better, and it started up front, but it was also Hassan Haskins who was falling forward, not going down on first contact. And I think the interesting thing is to hear what the coaches are saying afterwards about who the spark is, because they won't commit to who the starting quarterback is for this Saturday, although it seems obvious. But Josh Gattis is saying that both quarterbacks played well. And I find that interesting, and we could talk a little bit about that later, but I want to hear John's comments too.
Well, my take on that is pretty simple. It's gamesmanship. They want Penn State to check out both quarterbacks and waste 5 more hours in the film room. So he has no reason to commit to a quarterback publicly, neither Gattis nor Harbaugh at this point. Look, what I saw looked pretty bad, but I'm not breaking down the film. I don't know what the receivers were doing, what the line was doing. I don't break it down the way you guys do, the way Brian Cook does and so on. But my guess is that's mainly gamesmanship. If Cade McNamara is not the starter on Saturday, you can sue for malpractice.
Yeah, I find very little reason for concern there. I think that the reluctance to mention it in a press conference, mention it to the media, has everything to do with gamesmanship is part of it. I think for Jim, it was not getting ahead of telling the team what the plan was going to be, right? Telling the media before the team finds out, telling Joe before the team finds out. But look, if you're Joe, you know. I think you could see. I mean, the guy gave a post game speech, for goodness sakes. So I think it's pretty apparent that Cade is going to get his chance to drive this car, and as well he should, with the performance that he's put on the last couple of weeks. And while I still think Joe has an extremely high ceiling, I do not think that the die has been cast for what he is as a quarterback. But for where they are, we're talking about where they are this season. Can they afford to wait, for things to progress as rapidly for him as they need them to in the moment? Their offense has to score in the 30s, guys, at least. And it had stalled. Cade McNamara came in the game and got him on the board right away and got him in the 40s. And so you need whatever's going to get you there. That's what you need to be rolling with. And, you know, you've had a few games, or Joe had a few games, to see if he could carry over the momentum of the Minnesota game. He had a chance to bounce back from his extremely poor game against Wisconsin. The Michigan State and Indiana games weren't poor. They were just okay. Wisconsin was poor. He got an opportunity to bounce back from that. Couldn't quite get back to the level that he was prior. So now, you know, I think Cade gets his opportunity the rest of the way.
The big question, though, guys, is will it make a difference? So last week, 4 quarterbacks in the Big Ten, or 4 coaches in the Big Ten, made decision to bench their quarterback. And what happened the following week?
Yeah,
you had Will Levis get benched again for Sean Clifford, who came out gangbusters on his first 2 passes, coming back as the quarterback before once again turning the ball over. And then, you know, you had Luke McCaffrey at Nebraska, who did well in Game 1 against Penn State, rushed for a lot of yards, was a catalyst, and then just basically,
yeah.
You know, it was bad. He had a bad second game performance against Illinois.
Yeah.
Illinois, that's not known for their defense. I mean, he fumbled the ball through interceptions, didn't play well. So there was a lot of people in Nebraska thought that they had found their quarterback in Luke McCaffrey, and that didn't turn out to be the case. Will Levis was benched in the middle of his second game. Don't know what would have happened to Michigan State, because their game got canceled, against Maryland. And Michigan, being the 4th team to switch quarterbacks, went back with their starter for Rutgers, but then benched him again late in the second quarter.
This is a great point, Steve Clark, which I expect from you, my friend. You laid out exactly why I phrased the Cade McNamara, or framed the Cade McNamara discussion the way that I just did, saying that I think he's earned the right to have the keys, even if he struggles, because as you appropriately highlighted, Luke McCaffrey comes in the game 1 week after being anointed and he threw three interceptions. And Will Levis got benched. We can even look at Graham Mertz, who lit it up against Illinois. Graham Mertz, who was okay against Michigan. I mean, he was 12 for 20. He just had an okay game against Michigan. He played a real defense and threw three picks last week. So there is reason to, you know, sort of be a bit restrained in the belief that things are just going to roll from here. But it's why I think you commit. You commit to seeing it through and not playing musical chairs at quarterback, seeing if he does struggle, can he bounce back from it? You got to have some continuity at that position. And so I think that Joe getting the first half of the season to see if he could find some consistency was the right move. A lot of people are questioning it. He won the job in fall camp. What are you going to do? Ignore practice? Yeah, I mean, he was fantastic in camp. He was really, really good in game one, looking like he did in camp. So you roll with him. When he struggles some, you see if he can get out of it. He obviously could not get back to that level. Now you do the same thing with Cade McNamara. He had a great first game, first outing against Rutgers. Whether he struggles, if he struggles, you roll with him to see if he can bounce back from it, have some continuity at the position to see what you have in that quarterback in Cade, so you know at least heading into next year what you got in your quarterback room.
I think Sam hit the nail on the head as usual, and that is that, look, you can't have the guy warming up after each pick, the backup quarterback. Jamie Morris is one of his many great lines. The most popular guy in the building is the backup quarterback, because that guy has no flaws. He's perfect. He'll charge in, with the white hat, and yeah, he's your hero with no flaws. Never happens that way. So, but you have to, and as you said, the fan base very critical on Michigan for keeping Joe in there, Milton, as long as they did. But you have to. My experience with goalies, you can't let them think, okay, go in there, do your best, but you let one goal in, I'm yanking you. That guy's not going to stay three shots. You just can't do it. Basketball, go out in there, do your best, miss one shot, I'm yanking you. That guy's, he's done. Very few are mentally tough enough for that. So you can't set him up like that. If you're going to give him the keys, you got to give him the damn keys. And that's what they did with Joe Milton. That's what they have to do now with Cade McNamara, I think. And let him know this is your team, your game. And look, honestly, at this point, what is Michigan playing for? You're playing for next year anyway. So hopefully one of these guys settles down and takes it over. That's what you're hoping. And who cares who? As long as somebody does, you're happy. And I agree with you also on Milton. I can't believe that the whole thing was smoke and mirrors. Because I was hearing that for a year and a half about Milton from practice and so on. He saw a little bit in games last year, not a lot, that he was just that good, that much skill and so on. Maybe the playbook wasn't attuned to him. Certainly the O-line was not a big help with all the subs. He already had rookies, and then he had subs for the rookies. Okay, that's a problem. I agree with you that he's not in the trash heap, nor should he be. But if you're going to give Kay the keys, give him the damn keys.
Steve?
John, I've never seen a backup goalie actually warming up behind the bench, probably because there isn't any room, but I've never seen
him. Hey, Clarky, I love you. Here's how it works in hockey. You see him put his mask on, he's warming up. You see him grab his gloves, big old waffle. Yeah, that means, okay, pal, two more shots, you're out. That's how it works in hockey.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, when you talk about figuring out what you have for next year, I mean, how the rest of this season plays out with Cade determines both of these quarterbacks' future in this program. You got to look at it that way too, because there's a good chance that whoever it isn't, especially if it isn't Joe, there's a good chance that he's on his way out of here. So find out now, find out now about, what your vision for the future is. If Kay McNamara balls out the rest of the way, I think the handwriting is on the wall. He'll be able to see that. If he doesn't ball out, all right, then you have reason for him to be, you know, maybe a little bit different about his thought process moving forward. And certainly you as coaches maybe are thinking a little bit different about J.J. McCarthy, who's enrolling early. So a lot of reason to just see what you got, see what he can do.
Kick the tires, man. Kick the tires. Find out now. You got a four. Look, they're 2-3 right now. You got a 4-game tryout for 2021. That's what the rest of the season is. I mean, the way the bowl thing is now, yeah, they probably go somewhere, but so what? But the only thing left on the table really is a very slim chance of beating Ohio State. And that would certainly change the outlook for a lot of things. That one never hurts Michigan, of course. But short of that, it's a 4-game tryout for next year.
Yeah, you're telling me that we are getting to the point, Steve Clark, where they are going to be able to score a lot of points, this Michigan offense, because they would have to score a lot of points in that game. You're hoping to be in a position where you don't punt either, because that's how I think it's going to go.
Either. Because you know that guy's getting the day off, right?
You guys mentioned the importance of finding out which quarterback is better between Milton and McNamara. The thing is, with J.J. McCarthy being as heralded as he is, the loser of the battle between these two that are on the roster right now is going to number three.
Right.
And even Alabama can't hold on to their third-string quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Ask Tagovailoa, who's at Maryland.
Right.
I mean, he was the number three. Once he found out he was number three at Alabama, he gone. And I think that's what's going to happen at most programs across the country. If you're beyond a freshman year eligibility, you're the number three quarterback, you're looking for other opportunities.
Oh, that's why I just said, look, whoever it isn't in this dynamic, this current quarterback dynamic, they're leaving. At least that should be your expectation.
McCaffrey's already gone, basically, right? I mean, that's how fast that happens these days. The portal is now a revolving door, and it moves quickly.
Yep. So again, all the more reason to really dig into finding out what you have in this mix. So Bakes, we're going to be able to get Steve's take on this Michigan Penn State game. I just want your take on Penn State overall. That is, as tough as things have been for Michigan, they've been even tougher for James Franklin and Penn State. 0-5 on the season now, and a guy who. I think I asked you this before. I never got a feel for how that fan base feels about him. What I know is they better get used to him if they aren't already, because Steve Clark laid out this morning, a $32 million buyout. He's going nowhere unless you can dig up some dirt on the guy.
Unbelievable. And look, when they signed that contract a few years ago, I said then, this is beyond stupid. Who's actually after Franklin right now? To that tune right there, just – unbelievably asinine. Look, Penn State, you won the booby prize. That's yours. That's you're holding the bag. That's your bag, man. That is your bag. So look, what's happening, let's go on the field and off the field. On the field, what's happening is what I thought was going to happen about 3 years ago. I never bought Franklin. I thought he's a fraud. I think he's a great recruiter. I know a lot of guys at Penn State, as you know, and none of the people, not one of the people I know at Penn State, inside or outside the program, former players, administrators and so on, not one of them likes the guy. They say that once he's a great recruiter, once he's recruited you, he quits caring about you. And all that stuff on the sidelines, the hugs and this and that, it's all for the TV. The guy's very TV conscious, cannot call a game for his life. He does also recruit coaches very well, and they have seen him through. Look, they've beaten Michigan. They've had good season. They've beaten Ohio State. They've won Big Ten titles. So you can't argue with any of that, and Michigan's not one of those things. But I thought sooner or later, someone has it behind the curtain. It's got to blow up sooner or later, and it's finally blowing up. And when it's blowing up, he's got nowhere to go. Now, you can write it off as a COVID year. His family's in Florida. He's complaining about that, blah, 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 blah. You shouldn't complain too much, dude. You're sitting on $30 million. This is like Kelly Stafford. You know what? Maybe not the time or place for this complaint. Some folks actually got a little harder than you do right now. They're called, first responders and people like this, wearing masks and all this stuff in hospitals, Mr. Franklin and Kelly Stafford. So that's my take on that one. But now the internal thing, Sandy Barber, they've had a series of bad ADs at Penn State, starting with Dr. Joyner, who had no business getting that job, inside job. He's friends with the trustees, and the trustees are dysfunctional. Whatever problems Michigan's got, it is not nearly as deep and as broad as Penn State's problem. It's a dysfunctional board. One of his buddies got him on, bought him a house. is a doctor who ended up going bankrupt. How do you do that? Well, you sign contracts like this. That's how you do that. Name me five doctors who have gone bankrupt. Five. Anywhere in the country. Well, one of them signed that contract.
Steve, you're saying?
Oh, I just wanted to say.
Sandy Barber re-upped it, so I mean, she made it worse.
Yeah.
So.
When John said, I know we're running out of time, but when John said about things blowing up, the Big Ten's PR department could have blown up if it wasn't for Northwestern beating Wisconsin on Saturday. I mean, Northwestern's virtually got the West sewn up for themselves, but if Wisconsin had won that game over Northwestern, they would have had it locked, except it looks like Wisconsin is not going to be able to be eligible to win the Big Ten. They canceled the game with Minnesota yesterday. That puts Wisconsin at the threshold of missing three games into their season. Imagine having the Big Ten West sewn up for yourselves only to find out a few days later that you are ineligible to play Ohio State in the championship. What a PR nightmare that would have been the Big Ten. The PR department's got to give Northwestern at least a gift card. At least.
By the way, briefly, hats off to Northwestern, man. You beat a solid team. And, you know, no home crowd, of course. Every other year, Northwestern's pretty damn good. In the other year, they stuck. They're, you know, 4-1, whatever. Then they turn around, they win 9-10 games out of nowhere. So hats off to those guys.
Yeah, Mike Hankwitz, Michigan guy, defensive coordinator there, did a whale of a job on a young quarterback and Graham Mertz, who I said the week before us, you know, they rushed for 350 yards against Michigan, and Joe Milton played really, really poorly. It made Graham Mertz look better than he actually performed. He was just so-so. And boy, Mike Hankowitz came in and said, yep, he's just so-so. Made him look like a young quarterback. Now, I don't think he's just a so-so talent. I think he's just a young guy. And you saw him look young against Northwestern last week. We'll get deeper into this. Bakes, I won't have a chance to talk to you before the holidays. So I want to wish you, Christy, Teddy, a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Man, this show wouldn't be the same without you, my friend. So, you know, I love you. We love you. Thanks for being with us. And Steve, 13-5, baby. 13-5. I just said a little bit. Just a little bit of an advantage right now heading into the weekend, man. I think someone's 14 and I don't know.
All I know, Sam, is that you were down one. You were down a game, and you've only picked three games since you were down a game. But you are 3-0, and Steve's 1-2.
Someone's 13-5. Someone's 12-6.
Yep, that's how it is right now. Yep.
Who's 13-5, Ira?
Sam Webb.
And who's 12-6?
Steve Clark.
I'm the idiot who picked Rutgers to win. That's it. I mean,
it was that game, and it was Purdue. And it was Purdue Northwestern. You took Purdue. He took Northwestern. And there you go. Those are the two games that flipped it in the last 2 weeks.
Hey, Clarky, in your defense, I could not have called you on Friday or Saturday morning stupid for picking Rutgers in that game right up to the missed field goal.
Right? Steve and I have had a lot of games like that. So there have been some razor-thin margins. So we have fun with it.
I'm thankful for you guys. Love the show. Michigan fans are spoiled with the quality of your show. Trust me on that one.
True.
Always a pleasure to be on it, and we'll keep it going.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks a lot, fellas. See you Saturday, Steve. All right.
We got to sign off, Sam. We haven't actually signed off the radio show. You want to sign off? Say goodbye to everybody.
Oh,
say goodbye to everybody. You forgot that part? We went overtime. We had a lot of fun. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Basketball, 12:15, the coverage starts for the women. Sam and I will be on with Miz in between the women's game and the men's game. Men's coverage starts at 3:30. We're off tomorrow for Thanksgiving. We're off Friday for some sleep. And then Saturday, we're back at it. Sam at 8 a.m. with the Key Bank countdown to kickoff with our guy, Steve Clark, and a whole lot more. So looking forward to it. So happy Thanksgiving to you and the webs and everybody listening. Thanks a lot.
All right. See you guys on Saturday on the Key Bank countdown to kickoff. Thanks for listening to the Michigan Insider. Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus State.